Good afternoon, everyone. This is Living the Good Life, and this is Beacon of Hope Ministries from Clearwater, Florida. And we've got a different situation going on today, as we had some issues happen here a couple days ago, so with some lightning, and we are doing the best we can, Pastor Jim, so we're kind of turned around in here, aren't we?
Yeah, this is kind of weird sitting in this direction.
We're going in a different direction, but we're still going in the right direction.
That's right,
which
taking that turn at the path there.
There we are. That's exactly right. We're going to have a great show. So welcome every one of you that are listening wherever you might be, because this is a big globe, and this nation, or this show, goes around not just this nation but other parts of the world. Through Starcom Radio Network, also through Tantalk1340.com. So the other great thing that happened a couple weeks ago is that we are now an FM station also, not any longer just 1340 AM or the other AM stations in Dade City and Zephyr Hills, but we are also FM, Pastor Jim. And this might be the first show that you've done with us since we became FM.
It is. And I'm going to try and, you know, listen to the show that's on after us as I drive home afterwards on FM, just to see
the difference. There is a tremendous difference. Absolutely. We are 106.1 FM now. So if you are listening on the 1340 AM channel or the other channels up in the Dade City, North Tampa, Wesley Chapel areas, those three different stations, you can flip over to 106.1 FM or also go to www.tantalk1340.com, which a lot of our listeners listen through that means, because they're scattered in different parts of the world. It's amazing right now, Pastor Jim, in this day and age, how much different our lives are than 10 years ago. When we started this program almost 10 years ago, 9.5 years ago, and, you know, we had to record a show on a actual CD in order.
Well, praise God, we didn't have to do that today.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, I want to make the point just to remind our non-Florida listeners that.
Right.
We are talking from the lightning capital of the world.
Yes, we are.
And, you know, if you ever plan on visiting Florida, what were they saying this week? If you hear the thunder roar, you know, go inside the door. So,
is that what they said? That's good. I like that.
I forget. That wasn't exactly it. But basically, there's a lot of, we do get a lot of thunder and lightning down here.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
We did have one big old storm on Thursday, so.
And that's when the damage occurred. And, in fact, Dr. Angel and I were just walking in for our show Thursday night, and it had happened to like 5 minutes prior to that, and we had to use a rerun for that reason. But, you know, everybody's okay, and that's the main thing. And, yes, we do get a lot of lightning, but praise God, we just move right on through.
That's exactly what we're doing.
Yes, we just move right on through it. We're talking about in our new series entitled The Power of Praise. And praising God is where it's at in our lives for those everyday problems, for all the issues that confront us. We have to learn to praise God and learn the value of praise. And Pastor Jim, you taught this past Wednesday night about praise and how to defeat the enemy through praise, correct? Right. You want to talk a little bit about what you were saying?
Yeah, I taught on praise and warfare. I used Psalm chapter 8, where David wrote, "Out of the mouth of babes and infants you have ordained strength to shut the mouth of the enemy."
Amen.
And yes. Jesus, when he quoted that, he quoted the Greek version of that in Matthew chapter 21. He said, "Out of the mouth of babes and infants you have ordained praise." So I combine the two and you get, "Out of the mouth of babes and infants you have ordained praise to shut the mouth of the enemy." And then the other main verse was in Psalm 149. "Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a sharp two-edged sword in their hands to execute judgment."
Oh, yes, I love
on
those
the
verses.
"Nations and their kings."
Woo,
because
yes.
That is our glory, right? To be able to do that.
Oh, it is.
And, you know, it's not talking about literally killing people. It's talking about our enemy. And I reminded everybody, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're not wrestling against this or that. We're wrestling against the spiritual powers of this present darkness.
Right.
The devil and his angels.
Exactly.
And that's what that's talking about. Let the high praise of God be in our mouth.
Amen.
Let a two-edged sword, which is the word of
God,
be in our hand to execute judgment on them, to make them flee, to defeat them.
Absolutely. And so if some of you out there may say, boy, it seems like my life has just been hit so hard by the enemy, the devil, lately. I've just had one thing after another. And, you know, we're glad you tuned in, because this program today is we're going to help you deal with all that and give you a reason to really spend time praising God, which will lead you into worshiping his greatness, his power, his abilities in our lives. And this show is going to help you a lot. You're going to feel better when we get done with this. So hang with us today. And we're going to talk about some really tremendous truths. It's so true that the word says that we enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Do you want to talk about that concept, Pastor Jim?
Oh, you know, I'd love to.
Okay.
What the psalmist is referring to there is kind of the layout of the tabernacle,
right?
Or the temple. You know, I'm going to enter into his courts, into those outer courts. I'm getting closer to his presence, but I do that with thanksgiving, being grateful, having an attitude of gratitude.
Exactly.
Just being thankful for what the Lord has done. And then I enter in, you know, I enter those gates, then I enter the courts.
Yes.
With praise.
Exactly.
I get closer to God.
Right.
We draw closer to God with praise.
That's
and,
exactly,
you know,
right.
There's thanksgiving in the outer court, praise in the inner court, and
right.
Just absolute out and out worship in the Holy of Holies.
So thanksgiving, praise, and worship. And, you know, no matter what we're going through, the word tells us and reminds us to give thanks. Give thanks no matter what. We talked about that a couple weeks ago on our show, the importance of giving thanks. And we mentioned it last week, too, the importance of just really giving thanks no matter what's going on. Before you see the answer, before you see what God is going to do, you give him thanks and you praise him.
Because that's what's going to bring the answer, I believe.
Yes.
You know, praise his name and see it happen.
Right.
You know, let let the word of God become alive in
right.
your heart. That's what happens as we thank God for what he's done. We praise him for who he is, and then we get into worship where we don't even need words.
Right.
You know,
Amen.
And that's where he can minister to us, and we have that intimate relationship with him.
Exactly.
And that's what praising him is all about. We're saying, thank you, God, for loving me, for being who you are, for being my redeemer, for saving me, for filling me with your Holy Spirit, for healing me, for giving me what I need.
Amen.
Every day.
Amen. So, Lord, we thank you right now for this opportunity to be on the air and to share your word this day with our audience, wherever they might be. Lord, let this be a time of reflection. Let this be a time where our listeners really hear these concepts, take them to heart, put them to work in their lives, and see the results. We give you the glory and the praise right now in the name of Jesus. And this song we're going to start with today is When I Hear the Praises Start.
Oh, and Keith Green.
Keith Green. Here we go. What a great song. Keith Green's with Jesus.
my son, why are you striving? You can't add one thing to what's been done for you. I did it all while I was dying. Rest in your faith, my peace will come to you. For when I hear the praises start, oh, I want to rain upon you blessings that will fill your heart. I see no stain upon you because you are my child and you know me to be your only holy. Nothing that you've done remains, only what you do for me. My child, why are you weeping? You will not have to wait forever. That day and that hour is in my keeping. The day I'll bring you into heaven. For when I hear the praises start, my child, I want to rain upon you blessings that will fill your heart. I see no stain upon you because you are my child and you know me. To me you're only holy. Nothing that you've done remains, only what you do with me. Just what you do for me. Precious bride, the day is nearing.
Amen.
When I'll take you in my arms and hold you. I know there's so many things that you've been hearing, but you just hold on to what I have told. When I hear the praises start, my bride, I want to rain upon you blessings that will fill your heart. Oh, I see no stain upon you because you are my child and you know me. To me you're only holy. Nothing that you've done will remain, only what you do for me. Just what you do with me. What you do for me.
Praise God, that's the answer
just
right there.
What you do for me.
It's what we do for Him. That's what's gonna last. Wow, brings back good memories, that song, Pastor Jim. I see the tears flowing in there.
Yes.
Through the glass where you are.
Oh, yes.
Yes, absolutely.
I was thinking during that song, it's almost 40 years old.
Right, that's a long
time.
I
think the album, For Those Who Have Ears to Hear, came out in either 77 or 78.
Right.
And that song is as powerful today. And it's still as... relevant
right.
today as it was 40 years ago.
Absolutely.
I mean, when a song can touch your heart like that after
right.
40 years, I mean, that's...
It's a great...
That's an anointing on that song.
And Keith Green and two of his children passed away in an airplane crash many years ago. Mm-hmm. But look at the legacy he has left us still through his music that it can affect like that.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, when we are in the midst of life's problems, when we're in the midst of disappointment, you know, problems going on in our lives, distractions, like in Exodus 32, where we're going to kind of start, we're not going to hit every verse by any means.
Yeah, that was some distraction.
It was a huge distraction. Huge is the word these days. I hear all the time on the TV. And what had happened here, we're going to set the scene for you. God had delivered the children of Israel from Egypt, from slavery, where they had been for 400 years. Moses and his brother Aaron had been used of God to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt into on their way to the promised land. Now, it was such a story. Most people even really know that story from the movie The Ten Commandments and some of those other movies. And they have an idea that the children of Israel were a great big group of people, about 3 million people, more than likely, right?
Yeah, there were at least 603,000 men.
Men, right.
Of fighting age.
Right.
So that's not including older men, children, and women. So
right. And a lot of estimates are close to 3 million or 2.5. So a whole lot of people were led out of bondage, out of slavery. And they saw the hand of God dry up the Red Sea and stand the water straight up in the air. That's pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they saw miracles, Pastor Jim, and some of us have seen a lot of miracles in our lives, haven't we?
Yes, we have. And I'm sure we'll may touch this point.
Go ahead.
Well, and not only that, I mean, before they even crossed the Red Sea, the cloud came down.
Yes.
God's presence came down and stayed between the Israelites and the Egyptians.
Exactly.
The cloud followed them.
Right.
God provided manna, provided quail, provided water.
All the way.
And yet Moses goes up on Mount Sinai for 40 days.
Right.
And the Israelites get a little itchy.
They get distracted.
Very distracting.
And by the way, I want to remember to say Betty, our dear Betty Thomas from Indiana, and part of our radio team was supposed to be on the air with us today, but because of the inability to have the phone bank, we could not have her on. So Betty, if you're listening, and we know you probably are, and you're praying for the show, we just hope and pray that everything you want communicated will get communicated. You can always text Pastor Jim during the show here, Betty, and with your comments if you want to do that. I'm Pastor Marcia, along with Pastor Jim. And PJ, which we lovingly call you, this whole scene starts in Exodus 32 with such a huge rebellion. I mean, and isn't that what the human race is known for?
Well,
rebellion?
Absolutely, since the garden.
Right.
The garden, Cain and Abel, the Tower of Babel, Noah, you know, even
so
before
much.
The Tower of Babel, there was Noah and, you know, the generation that he lived in.
Right.
Yeah. And part of it is, and it really comes out here, the people wanted gods to worship.
Yes, they did.
And
they wanted like stones or
yeah.
trees or fish or something to worship.
We are created to worship something. That's just how we're made.
Right.
That's our DNA. It's in our DNA because we're created by God.
Right.
And he's created us to worship him. And here Moses had gone, you know, had gone up onto Mount Sinai. He'd been gone for 40 days. For all they knew, he was dead. And yet, they rebelled against God. I mean, Moses hadn't even delivered the Ten Commandments yet.
Right. At this point, no.
He'd gotten all the instructions.
But he had left Aaron there his brother, mm-hmm. who had also been right there through all of those plagues in Egypt, right. through the Red Sea miracle. Aaron saw it all too.
Right. And I must correct myself. I went back a few pages. The Ten Commandments had been delivered
right.
to the children of Israel. And they said over in, believe chapter 24, this we will do.
Right. They said, we're going to do it.
And of course, I am the Lord thy God. You shall have no other gods before me. Was number one.
Number one.
Not to make a graven image. And yet here, Moses, you know, he got the word from God and God said, come on up. I want to commune some more with you. Moses went up on the mountain, got the instructions for the tabernacle and all right. that. And yet they knew the commandment. It had been delivered to them. And they said, I want something material. I need something in front of me to worship.
Right, right.
And obviously, you know, the Israelites, it was unique not to have an image of your God.
Right.
I mean, that was just unheard of at that time. Everybody, Egyptians, Amorites, you know, Amalekites, everybody had right. had images.
Exactly.
And here's the, you know, God said, nope, you're not, I'm not going to let you do that. And
because he wanted them to believe in him, right? And exercise right. their faith, and, even if they couldn't see it.
Right. And what image could convey
God?
I am.
Right.
You know, there is no image
right.
that can convey I am. And I often think, I'm sorry, I'm preaching.
No, here, you're fine.
That a lot of times, like the gods of the Egyptians, the gods of the Greeks, it's like, the one God got broken into a whole bunch of little pieces,
right.
which made him a little easier to deal with. I mean, in a human way.
Exactly.
And yet, you know, God says, I am that I am.
Right.
And you can't contain that in an idol, in right. a statue.
But isn't that such human nature that we idolize movie stars, we idolize athletes, we idolize something that we can look at and say, I wish I was like that.
Right.
You know, and instead, hear what God wants of us is for us to believe that he is all that he says he is, that he is the promise keeper, that he has all this word of God, is inspired of God, and is the written down word of God. And all of that, and he just asks us to have faith and believe and trust him. But yet human nature says, I want something that I can praise, that I can see.
I need something tangible.
I need something tangible and, that I can praise.
Right.
Yeah, and worship.
And yeah. So that's what they did here.
Right.
Is they said, they told Aaron, make us gods.
Yeah.
Make us gods we can worship here. So, and Aaron, who, like, he should have known better.
That's what amazes me about Aaron, really.
And
he eventually comes back into God's graces. There was a period of time he wasn't.
Right. Well, after he made up this really stupid story to Moses.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, he should have known better. I mean, God spoke to Aaron, too, and called him a long time before this to go and find his brother in the wilderness.
And he did all that. He was there through all the times with Pharaoh, those 10 plagues, and he was there at the Red Sea, yet he was human.
Right.
And, you know, it's like us so often, Pastor Jim, we forget the basics of praise, thanksgiving, worship. We forget that those are the basics that take us right into the presence of God.
Right.
We forget because the devil is actively involved, audience, on a daily, minute-by-minute basis to try to distract you away from the presence of the living God in your life. The devil's mission is to distract you, defeat you, disillusion you, all of those D's, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well,
that's the goal.
One of the verses we talk about often at church, John 10:10, the
yes.
thief, the devil, comes
yes.
only to steal, kill, and destroy.
Amen.
That's his whole mission.
Right.
To steal what God's, the blessings God's given
exactly.
us.
Exactly.
To kill the life that God has given
that's
us.
That's right.
And destroy the work that God has given
us. And the purpose of this show, one of the purposes today, is to remind us that we enter his gates with thanksgiving. And when we begin to go into his courts and begin to praise God and begin to then lead into worship of him, of how great he is, our circumstances do change.
Exactly.
But the devil doesn't want us to remember that, Pastor Jim. He wants us caught up in having our eyes on something that pulls us away from the presence of God, in this case, a golden calf.
Right, and we talked a little bit about that on Wednesday night. Actually, after service, I was speaking with a couple of people.
Great, great.
And it's where you put your eyes.
It's where you put your eyes.
I mentioned that actually in the teaching.
Yes.
If we keep our eyes on the issues, oh, I'm so poor, oh, I'm so sick.
That's right.
I'm so addicted, I'm so this, I'm so that.
Yes.
And you may be.
Right.
But nothing's going to change until you get your eyes off of that, off the devil's work, and put them on God. That's why Paul says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing.
Exactly.
In everything, give thanks. Keep your eyes on God and on his, what he's doing, on his provision. And yeah, praise him for it.
Right.
Praise him for it, because as I said, I made the analogy, of a missile,
right?
And the warhead is the blood, the word, and the name.
Oh, there you go.
That's that atomic nuclear warhead.
That's good.
The missile itself is prayer. That's what.
Right.
That's what pushes. That's what. That's.
Oh,
what,
I like that.
That's what
good.
Kind of surrounds it. But praise is the fuel that actually causes the liftoff. As you praise him, as you praise him in your prayers, that's
right.
Going to launch those warheads. And believe me, there's nothing that can stand up against the word, the blood, and the name.
Oh, amen. Praise God. Good preaching. And so what happens is when our eyes are distracted, doesn't the word say looking unto Jesus, fixing our eyes on Jesus, you know, keeping steady, keeping focused.
Right. Look, the word means look in Hebrews chapter 12, verse
right.
1. Looking away from all distractions.
From all distractions.
Literally what it means, and focusing on Jesus.
You know, I've taught, and we've talked a lot about those D words, and we talked about a minute ago, the discouragement, the distractions, the defeat that happens in so many of our lives, disease, you know, there's probably a lot of D words, and the devil manages to use all that, and I like what Satan is in Spanish, it's Diablo, huh? And so another, the D thing, you know, and so his whole thing is the D sensitize you to the Spirit of God,
right,
to get you unaware of how great God is and how much he can change your circumstances. Those of you out there that need jobs right now, let's get our eyes right now as we start the show on the fact that God is the author and he is our provider of our provision. And we need to get our eyes on thanking him and praising him as we go through this show for that job or for your healing, whatever is needed in your life. Whatever is going on in your life, God is the author of that provision.
And I can just hear people saying, you people are nuts. But think about it.
We've lived it forever, PJ.
Yeah.
You and me.
If
and Betty.
Right. I mean, if I'm, and I have been sick, and I'm human. It's hard.
It's hard when you're sick.
Give thanks in the midst of that.
Sure it is.
But you're not thanking God that you're sick. You're thanking God. You're praising him. You're keeping your eyes on him in the midst of
whatever's going around.
In the midst of this storm,
that's right,
or whatever's happening.
You're praising God.
We can praise God. And I made the point, too, that I may have made it the week before, actually. The way things are now, with all the things going on in the world, the only thing that keeps me, I don't want to use the word sane, but the only thing that keeps me steady.
Right. That's a good word.
Steady is being able to praise God and trust him
that
no matter how it looks around me.
That's right.
Things are
right.
Still in his hands.
Amen.
We have to remember, God knows the beginning from the end.
Yes, he does.
Nothing that's happening escapes his attention.
Yes.
Therefore, we can have hope and we can praise him because of that.
Amen. So, here's what happened. Moses went up to the mountain. He was there quite a while. The people got distracted. They got defeated. They got discouraged. They did not see Moses coming down. They hadn't heard from him. Some of them probably were in fear that he had gotten up there and died, or whatever the case may be. So they persuaded Aaron to do this, make this calf. And of course, you alluded to it earlier, but when Moses confronted Aaron a few days later about what happened here, why is this?
Well,
how did this happen? You love to tell that story, yeah, so I'll let you.
I do want to back up a smidge.
Go just, right ahead. Back it up.
Because God already told Moses what was going on.
Right, he knew.
And he comes down part of the way down the mountain and meets Joshua.
Right.
And Joshua says, "Oh, sounds like there's war in the camp."
Right.
And Moses said, "No, I can just hear Moses saying, I wish it was just war."
Right.
Because he knew. And then he goes down.
In the Message Bible, Moses says, "No, they're having a party."
Yeah, well, they were.
Yeah, they were.
And it Amplified says they were, let's see.
They sat down to eat? Is that what you're talking about at the end?
In verse 6.
Yeah.
So they got up early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. Then the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to play shamefully without moral restraint.
In other words, they were having a wild party.
They were,
partying it up.
Yeah. And so Moses comes down from the mountain. And first of all, he entreats God. He says, please. God says, I'm just going to wipe them out. I'll make you a great nation.
Right.
You know. And Moses interceded for the people. And
yes,
yet Moses, we can intercede and we can still be angry because Moses got down there and he saw what was going on. He was angry. And sometimes we got to get mad at sin.
I totally agree. Sometimes we have to get so mad at what the devil is doing. We need to be stirred up. And sometimes in order to use praise as a weapon, to use the blood of Jesus as a weapon, to use the name of Jesus as a weapon, a lot of times we have to get stirred up enough at what the devil is doing. Some of you out there in radio land need to get fighting mad about the junk that's come at you and learn this lesson today that there is a way to combat this. And it's okay to be fighting mad at what the devil's done to you.
Yeah, I just was remembering at that one hotel. That day I got fighting mad.
Yes.
And then we found a new place because I said, I'm fed up with this. I'm just going to take this
you
anymore.
Sure did get that way.
And that
we found a place.
We prayed in agreement and God
found a place to move.
So Moses got angry. He broke the tablets.
Right.
Ground up the calf, made the people drink it.
Right.
And had 3,000 of them. I mean, ended up 3,000 of them died.
Right.
On that day.
Which wasn't very many out of 3 million. So, it was a very small percentage, really.
Right, but I think that was the ringleaders.
I'm sure it was. The ones that were still in rebellion.
And then he confronts Aaron, his brother, and says, why did you let them do this?
Right.
And Aaron said, well, look, I don't know what happened. They wanted a god to worship. I said, bring me your golden earrings. I tossed them in the fire, and poof, out came this calf.
I know. I love it when you tell that. That is exactly what it says here.
It's like
Aaron is blaming that on chance.
Who did he think he was fooling that you could? I mean, did he think Moses was like stupid?
Right. That you can just throw jewelry into a fire?
Jewelry into a fire and poof, this calf is going to pop out. I don't think so.
But Pastor Jim, think about us, all of us humans, in our disobedience, our times of disobedience. We somehow think we can go on, do our own thing as long as we want to, and there's not going to have any consequences to it, or there's not going to be any problems with it. We're just going to take a vacation from God and the Word, and, it's okay that I haven't read my Bible for a year and a half. Believe me, that's not me. It's been an hour ago. But I mean, seriously, human nature thinks somehow that we can defy God's laws for us and his wishes for us and how he tells us that our life will be better if we trust him, if we obey, if we are people of dependency on God. And so often we get off on a tangent of doing my own thing, like Frank Sinatra sang, I'll do it my way. We think we can, and there's not going to be any life consequences to that.
And there always will be.
Always will be.
It's a law of the spirit that, Paul said, what you sow, you're going to reap.
Right, exactly.
So watch what you're sowing.
Right.
And, I mean, if you sow seeds of fear or doubt.
Right.
Or you sow seeds of, well, of doubting God's promises, then what you're going to reap is none of God's promises.
It's the sowing and reaping principle.
It's as simple as that. And that's kind of what happened here. They sowed into their own fear because they were afraid that maybe Moses isn't there. And without Moses, God's not going to talk to us. We got to have gods. We got to have something tangible here. And so they gave into that fear.
Right.
And if they just waited a day or two more, Moses would have been back.
Yes.
And that's,
isn't that interesting? Their impatience caused a huge problem here.
Their impatience caused their fear.
Yes.
And because what they had always seen was God speaking to Moses directly. Well, without Moses, what are we going to do? Well, you just need to wait.
Right.
You know, you just, they grew impatient. They grew fearful. They grew impatient. And that's I think, one of the reasons why they demanded something tangible.
Right.
Give us gods. Because Aaron said, behold the gods that brought you out of Egypt.
Right. And on that point, that was the time of visitation of God's spirit. He would visit different times in different mm-hmm. leaders, etc. We now live in under a new covenant. We live in the time of habitation where he lives inside of us. And we don't have to have something, some figure, some whatever. But it's amazing that human nature still gets so distracted, even though God Almighty is living on the inside of us if we have invited him to live there.
Amen. Amen. And I know I've made this point before, again, and it has to do with having something tangible.
Right.
I think that's part of the fall.
Yeah.
I really do. I think that's kind of a twisted part that happened mm-hmm. after the fall is, well, we know what happened when God came after. When God wanted to fellowship with Adam and Eve.
Yes.
He had to chase them through the garden because
right.
they were running away.
Because they knew they'd sinned.
Right, because they knew they had sinned. And I think there's a little bit of that in all of us.
I agree there is.
That we still need to kind of box God in a little bit. So if I make up rules, my own personal set of rules on how I'm going to approach God, or if I... And I don't want to offend anybody, but if I use an image of some sort,
right,
then that can be a little comforting, but that doesn't make it right.
Right.
Because God dwells within us and he doesn't need an image.
He
doesn't need, and he surely does not need our little human made rules on how to approach him.
Oh, amen. And just think what would have happened if instead of the rebellion, the impatience, the lack of understanding and trusting God, which resulted in the making of the golden calf, which resulted in several thousands of people dying, which resulted in all kinds of problems, what if while Moses was up on the mountain, they had had a big Thanksgiving party? What if they had had a praise celebration? What if they had kept their eyes on Jesus, on God, instead of getting so disillusioned and worried and fearful? What if?
Well, traditionally, this took place on Pentecost.
Oh.
And 3,000 people died.
Right.
On the day of Pentecost, after the Passover
that Jesus was killed.
And rose again on that Pentecost.
3,000 people were saved. Amen.
So God reversed it at that point.
Amen, which he always does, which leads me to this song, Praise You in the Storm.
Oh, yes. Mercy.
And what about that?
Such a good song.
So when we have these storms, these times where we need to trust God, we need to start praising him. What if they had done that?
Right. And I think I mentioned this before when we've used the song in the past. The lead singer of Casting Crowns just went through a bout with cancer.
Yes.
A couple of years back.
Right. And how's he doing?
As far as I know, he's fine. They're they're still putting out songs and everything. So, right. But I mean, he speaks from experience about right. praising God in the midst of a storm. And this, that makes all the difference.
It makes all the difference. What if they would have done that? What if we would do that on a consistent basis?
I was sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. In every tear I've cried, you hold in your hands, you never left my side, though my heart is torn. I will praise you in this storm. Remember when I stumbled in the wind, you heard my cry to you, raised me up again. But my strength is almost gone, how can I carry on if I can't find you? But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. In every tear I cry, you hold in your hand, you never left my side, though my heart is torn, I will praise you in this storm. I lift my eyes into the help. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I lift my eyes into the heavens. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
Praise God. I'm going to praise you in the storm. And we are talking today about the power of praise and the difference it makes in our lives.
I will praise you.
Forgot that little tag.
In the storm.
Yeah, amen. Ooh.
I will praise you.
Amen. 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 That's what it's all about. And so, Pastor Jim, when we find ourselves in these situations where we really have messed up, let's say, we have been disobedient, we've been fearful, we have not been in tune with God, maybe for weeks on end, we see here Moses interceded with God for the people. I find this fascinating. And so like Moses, the man of God.
He was called God's friend. So, and I'm sure we're going to get to something that has always stood out as marvelous as what he said here in a little while. But it shows he had, like David, such a heart after God. He knew God. He knew God's nature. He knew God's, you know, he knew what God was like. He spent time with God, so he got to know God, and he got to be like God. You know, his character took on a lot of these characteristics because he had, Moses, you know, had righteous anger.
Right.
And yet, he still interceded for them.
If I had a great big bell in here, I'd be ringing it right then, because what I hear you saying is, there you go, there's the bell.
I had to move the bell over to my side of the table.
Okay. By the way, Ed, we have a caller that has said there's no sound coming out of the show. I don't know what can be done. That's what I'm hearing. Maybe it's on the internet side of it. Maybe that's what the problem is. Maybe they don't have sound on the internet side, because that person is Betty calling from Indiana. So maybe the internet side is not working because of the problems. Okay, so, you know, back to your point, Pastor Jim, when we have found ourselves in such a mess that we have strayed away from God and we've gotten off on our own, doing our own thing, way out there, way out in the deep water, you know, the best thing to do is come running back to God. And we do that through thanksgiving, through praise, through worship. But, you know, it's so human, as we said earlier, to not do that.
Well, yeah, because, again, it's our misconception about God.
Right.
Yes, he's angry.
Yes.
He gets angry when we sin, because he's a holy God.
Right.
And yet, to counter that, because he can't give up his holiness any more than he can give up his love.
Right, exactly.
That's why Jesus came, was to not just cover or hide our sins, but Jesus came to take our sins away.
Amen.
Jesus came to take them completely away through his sacrifice, through his blood, through his death, burial, and resurrection.
Yes.
He took them completely away.
Right.
And yet, I know there have been times when I haven't grasped that well enough, when I have tried to make little, okay, if I do this and this and this, I'll be acceptable to God again.
Right, right.
And we can't do that. The main thing is that God, all you have to do is turn around and go back to him. It doesn't matter how badly you've messed up, because God is love, and he wants to get back in fellowship with you.
Absolutely, he does.
So, you know, and like Moses interceded, please don't destroy them. You know, Jesus, it says, intercedes for us before the throne of the Father, saying, please don't destroy them.
Yes, exactly.
You know, let's just keep pouring out the Spirit and pouring out that, you know, conviction upon them and you know, woo them back, because that's what he does. You know, sometimes he'll woo us back. Sometimes he has to let things happen to kind of smack us upside the head so we'll come back. But again, that's not God's doing. That's our own doing. We talked about it earlier, that reaping and sowing. And yet he loves us so much. He longs for us to return to him. He wants to be in fellowship with us. And we tend to think, well, I can't get back in fellowship till I clean myself up. Well, you tell me just how you're going to do that.
Right.
Okay.
But don't we see here an intercessor here? Like Jesus, mm-hmm. Moses is an intercessor for the people when God says, forget it, I'm done with them, you know? And yet Moses is going to bat for them. And in all of their mess, and we start Exodus 33, God says to Moses, now go get on your way up from here, you and the people you brought up from the land of Egypt, head for the land which I promised. And we see that he says, I will send an angel ahead of you, and I'll drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. God's not going back on his promise to give them the promised land, but there's one major thing here. God's saying, go ahead, do it on your own, and I'll send one of my best angels to help you. Isn't that interesting?
That's interesting. And as I read this chapter, I thought, wait a minute. He went with them.
Yes, but not yet.
But not yet, because Moses still has some more intercession. Because at the end of chapter 32,
right.
If I can read.
Please
starting
do.
Starting Exodus chapter 32, verse 30. The next day Moses said to the people, you've committed a great sin. Now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin.
Right.
So Moses returned to the Lord and said, oh, these people have committed a great sin against you. And have made themselves a god of gold. Yet now, if you will, forgive their sin, and if not, please blot me out of your book.
I figured that was the point you wanted to make. How strong is that?
Right.
Talking to God by Moses.
I mean, Moses said...
Woo! You talk about an intercessor.
Yeah.
Intercessor.
Moses said, blot me out.
Right.
And God says, no, it's the ones who sinned against me. I'll
Right.
They're the ones that need to come, but I'm not going to blot you out. But I mean, Moses willingly said that. I don't think at that point he knew what God's answer would be. It's almost like Abraham offering up Isaac. He did not know.
Right.
All he knew was, this is what God said. I have to do it. And Moses had such a heart for the people of Israel.
That's it right there.
He had such a heart
for them.
Yes,
he did.
He, like Paul.
Right.
Paul said in Romans, I'm willing.
Right.
Basically, he says, I'm willing to lose my salvation if you'll save my brethren, the Jews.
Right.
And
that's called a heart for people.
That is a heart of intercession. Like,
oh, it is.
Like, phew,
well, you know. If you take it into our human or normal days here, our human life, if you were being tried for murder in a courtroom, and your attorney stood up and said, you know what? You say he's guilty. Okay, I'm going to go to prison for him. I'm going to take the death penalty for this person. Because Jesus is just exactly like that. He's our attorney.
Mm-hmm.
He's our intercessor. And so you have Moses really showing us the character, a godly character. Why? Back to this other point you made earlier. Because he had spent so much time with God. He knew God was a God of mercy, compassion, grace. And even though God is displaying this anger here, he's doing it for a reason to make a point, in my opinion.
Right. Right. Well, and that's why I think, I don't want to go off topic, but a lot of people, well, God in the Old Testament was such an angry God. But look at why he was angry.
Right.
And it wasn't, we tend to equate God's anger with our anger outbursts.
Right. They're not the same.
They're not the same at all.
Not the same.
Not the same at all.
Right.
And I think it's important to remember that. God, our anger is capricious. It's spur of the moment.
Right.
You know, God is patient.
Yes, he is.
You know, it says, Paul wrote, you know, Peter not wanting any to be lost.
That's right.
But all to be saved. And God's patient with us. He was patient with the Israelites. You read through
right.
Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy.
So patient.
I'm just thankful that I'm not God.
Right.
Because I'm sorry, I would have.
But I find it interesting that he allowed us to see a picture of him where he is very disappointed and mad about the disobedience and the sin here. And I find that interesting because so often we humans try to cover up the yuck in our lives and act like it doesn't exist and not confront it and not deal with it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, exactly. Because I know one of the things I would do if I was on a sin binge,
right?
For lack of a better word, I just kind of wait a few days. I put some distance,
right?
You know, and all I had to do was, when I knew I'd sinned, just stop, repent, get it over with, get it done, move on.
Right.
And yet sometimes we try and minimize it. I think we try and put distance because that makes it feel less bad, maybe.
Yes.
Or hurt less.
Right.
And it's still there. It's still sin. And, you know, I tell you, I praise God for the blood of Jesus.
Oh, amen.
Because I don't think even, I mean, we can say, and I do believe that my sins are completely gone. I mean, completely. They don't exist anymore.
No,
as soon as
you're
I confess them.
Exactly. Psalm 103.
They're just gone.
That's right.
And the enormity of that, I don't think is going to fully sink in till we're in heaven.
It's hard to comprehend that. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
All
unrighteousness.
All. Each one of our acts of unrighteousness,
right.
He cleanses us.
Exactly.
And in 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from every sin.
Every sin.
You know? Wow. I mean, we can live righteous before God. All we got to do is say, I'm sorry.
Right. And I find it interesting that this children of Israel, this population, and so many were disobedient, and so many, you know, turned to the golden calf and worshiped and partied and all that. How do you think they reacted to the fact that Moses, number one, was so angry, and number two, that he actually went to God and interceded for them?
Yeah, that would have been kind of hard to fathom. Wait a minute, you were really angry.
Well, right.
Yeah, okay. You can be angry and not sin, to quote Paul.
And you can be angry at the sin and not the sinner.
Not the sinner. He was angry at what they were doing.
Right.
And yet he still loved them enough to go
right.
and intercede for them.
Exactly.
You know, Jesus got angry. He got
right.
He got angry at the money changers.
Sure.
Got angry at the Pharisees, the Sadducees. He got angry at Peter.
Right.
And yet, you know, he even knew that the night before when he was betrayed, he looked at Peter and said, I know what you're going to do, but
right.
when you've returned,
right.
strengthen my brethren.
Isn't that cool? He knew what Peter was going to do.
He knew Peter was going to deny him, and yet he said, and when it's over with, when you've returned, when you've repented of this,
right.
strengthen your brethren.
Right.
Be there for them.
Right.
Holy moly.
And I got to wonder, knowing that God knows what's going to happen, if he knew this was going to happen. And so instead of sending Moses down a week early just to avoid
keep
this.
Keep it from happening.
He didn't, because this way the true nature of those people could be revealed.
And the true
heart.
Nature of God.
Exactly.
Both the nature of the people.
Right. And the nature of
and
God.
And the nature of God.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. So, wow. This is so, so cool.
This is.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, it's just a lot to take in, because there is so the importance here of learning the nature of God through all this, because as we have a show here that's talking about, no matter what we're going through, whether we've been disobedient, whether life has dealt us a bad deal, or no matter what's happened, when we turn to God, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness.
Amen. Amen. And that's what happened here, because what a picture of Jesus and the church.
Right. What a picture. Wow. Okay, we got to do a station ID right here, and we're coming right back. Okay, maybe we're not doing that. All right, so, well, things are different right now, so that's okay.
This is WTAN.
There you go. And all, you want to read those others right up there on the banner? Right, that big banner tells the other stations.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network, AM 1340, AM 1350, AM 1400, and FM 106.1.
Woo, absolutely. Listen, and we're glad you are listening today. And we've had some technical issues due to a lightning strike, but we are going right forward. And